Lecture 28, The July Crisis and the Outbreak of War.
For the past three lectures, we've been discussing the diplomatic background, the mounting tension in Europe between 1890 and the summer of 1914. In this lecture, we're going to turn our attention to the so-called July Crisis of 1914, the crisis provoked by the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand in Sarajevo by a Serbian terrorist, which would finally be the great confrontation that Europeans had both feared and sensed was inevitable. The July Crisis would produce one of the greatest controversies of modern European history. I think of in 20th century European history, the crisis, the way it unfolded, who was responsible, at what point does war become inevitable, who is responsible for the outbreak of the First World War. These issues are to be found in the July Crisis, and they have been the subject of more books, more discussions, more academic fora than probably any issue in 20th century European history. But this is not, at the same time, simply a kind of scholar's debate, a historian's debate about the significance of the July Crisis. Responsibility for the outbreak of the First World War was a major issue for the drafters of the Versailles Treaty at the end of the First World War, and it would become the basis for the terms given to the Germans and Austrians in 1919. It would have long-term political and military implications, as well as political ones for our purposes here in evaluating the evolution of European politics. The situation in Europe by the summer of 1914 was incredibly tense. There was almost, I think, a sense in Europe in these last years of peace, almost longing for resolution. There was a sense, I think, in every capital in Europe that war was an inevitability, that it was going to come. The only question was when. The question was what the circumstances would be. When the head of the French General Staff, General Joffre, was asked, "Do you think about war?" He says, I'll paraphrase very closely, "I think about it all the time. I plan it. I'm going to lead it, and I'm going to win it." The real powder keg was in the Balkans, and everyone understood this. The alliances had grown firmer as the situation in the Balkans deteriorated. There was an escalating arms race in Europe of absolutely staggering proportions. Even by post-World War II Cold War measures, the arms race in the period before 1914 is quite remarkable. Between 1904 and 1913, French and Russian military expenditures rose by 80%. German military expenditures rose by 120%. Italian by 100%. Austro-Hungarian by 50%. If the arms race continues, Sir Edward Grey, the British foreign minister, said shortly before the outbreak of hostilities in 1914, it will submerge civilization, close quote. Indeed, Russia and France embarked upon a very extensive expansion of their military forces in the aftermath of the Bosnian crisis of 1908-09. Which incidentally would throw off calculations of the Schlieffen Plan, which we'll come to in just a moment. As they increased their military expenditures and began to build up their forces to meet the German threat, all of German planning for a rapid mobilization, defeat of France, and then the ability to wheel around and deal with the Russians were thrown into question. So it is an escalating military race that forms the backdrop to these crises in the Balkans. The daily newspapers, London, Paris, Berlin, Vienna, all carried commentaries which suggested that not only was war inevitable, that in fact it might be better to have it now, to have it sooner rather than later, to end the tension.